أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين. ربي وفقني وسائر المشتغلين للعلم والعمل الصالح بحق محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. With Islamic Law's Book for Sayyid Sistani, we reach to issue number 351, and this issue it talks about the ghusl. With the obligatory bath, definitely there is y at the end of word obligatory, not you. This is misprinting letter, and I hope that I can continue and finish the lesson today. Here Sayyid Sistani said there are seven obligatory baths, seven obligatory, and he counts them, then he will explain the reasons of these baths one by one, and how at the end how to do the baths itself. A bath for janabe, when somebody has a janabe, he should perform ghusl. Bath for hayd, for women only. Bath for nifas, for women only also. Number four, bath for istihada, for women only. And bath for touching a dead body, for anybody who touches a dead body after his death, and his body being cool, when you touch him at that time, you need from ghusl mayyit, and bath for dead body. Seven bath which becomes obligatory on account of a vow, if you have a vow to make bath, or an oath it perform it, or an oath to perform it. So here we have these seven kinds of performing bath. Issue number 355-51. Enters the state of janabe in two ways. Person enters a state of janabe in two ways. Number one, sexual intercourse. Two, discharge of semen while sleeping or when awake, little or more, with lust or otherwise, voluntarily or involuntarily. Okay. Issue number 352. Yes, when one cannot ascertain. Yes, when one cannot ascertain whether the fluid emitted from one's body is semen, urine, or something else, it will be treated as what? As semen. It will be treated as semen. Yes, I am on page on issue 351 exactly. A person enters the state of janabe in two ways: sexual intercourse, to discharge of semen while sleeping or when awake, little or more. That's on page 82. With lust or otherwise, voluntarily or involuntarily. It means that when the semen is out of body, either voluntarily or involuntarily. So now he is in a janaba state. Okay, issue number 352. When one cannot ascertain whether the fluid emitted, he's not sure that the fluid emitted from one's body is semen, urine, or something else, it will be treated as semen if it is thrown out with lust and if the body is slack end. So here we need to know if there is what, if this is a semen, that this semen is thrown out of the body, but with conditions. First condition is with lust, and then the body is slackened. Okay, these two conditions shown us that this is a semen. If all or some of these signs are not present in fluid, in the fluid, will not be what as semen. In the case of illness, sometimes people when they are ill, they see sometimes semen or a fluid like semen, they don't know. In the case of illness, the fluid may not come out with sudden swiftness and the body may not slacken, but if the emission takes place, so with lust, it will be treated as semen. Even if one sign refers to this is a semen, so we'll consider it at what as a semen. So when it considered as a semen, so in this case we need to perform what we need to perform ghusl, not wudu. Okay, now with issue number 353, if a fluid emitted by a healthy person, fluid emitted by a healthy person possesses one of the aforesaid three signs and he does not know whether the aforesaid three signs as that said sudden swiftness and slaking and lust, these are the three signs. Okay, three signs, and he does not know whether or not it also possessed other signs, and if before the emission he was with wudu, he will content himself with that wudu. Why? Because this person, this healthy person, he saw that yes, again, if a fluid emitted by a healthy person possesses one of the aforesaid three signs and he does not know whether or not it also possessed other signs, so he doesn't know, he's not sure, and if before the emission he was with wudu, he will content himself with that wudu. So because he doesn't know that he has what has fluent what, yes, fluent as semen. Now, and if he was not with wudu, it would be sufficient for him to perform wudu only, and ghusl would not be necessary. Why? Because he is not know whether or not it also possessed other signs. He doesn't know that this is semen or not. For that, or not consider is this is a semen, and if he was on wudu, he will stay on that wudu and he can perform a salah with that wudu. Or if he wasn't on wudu, so we don't need only wudu from him. Within issue 354, it is mustahab that a person should urinate after the seminal discharge. As we know that the organs of urine and the organs of janaba, they are the same organ. Okay, it is just like a water pipe, a water tube. When you use it for watering something or a planet, when you close the tap, still in this tube what drops of water. So how you can get rid of that water? Either to raise it from the other side in the high po to the high point and let the other side downward. So in that case, when he is in a janaba state, he needs to perform or to urinate himself in order to let the drop of urine push the drops of what of semen out of the penis. In that case, so when he perform the ghusl janabe, everything is okay. But without urinate after janabe, and he perform ghusl, then after ghusl, he found a fluid, and he doesn't know what is this fluid. He should perform ghusl again, because we consider this fluid as what as semen. But if he did urinate after janabe, he doesn't need to make ghusl, and he consider this fluid after ghusl janabe as pure. Okay. Number 354. Yes, it is mustahab that a person should urinate after the seminal discharge. If he did not urinate and an emission was seen after ghusl, which could not be determined as semen or something else, it would be treated as semen. Because of what? Because he urinate after janabe. Issue number 355. If a person has sexual intercourse with a woman and the male organ enters either of the private parts of the woman up to the point of circumcision or more, both of them enter janabe, both of them, the male and female, regardless of whether they are adults or minors and whether ejaculation takes place or not. It is the most important thing that the two circumcision for a male and female has met, or each one part of them enter to the other part, even with less the tap of the what of the male organ enters into the point of the circumcision of female. That's enough to be in a state situation, and they have to perform ghusl. Okay. Issue number 356. If a person doubts whether or not his penis penetrated up to the point of circumcision, ghusl will not become obligatory him. Why? Because he has a doubt that his penis penetrated up to the point of circumcision, so he's not sure. So his ghusl is not obligatory. Ghusl won't be become obligatory on him. Issue number 357. Yes, if, God forbid, a person has sexual intercourse with an animal. You see that here Sayyid Sistani and all the ulama, they study the situation from all aspects, from all sides. So he said here, if, God forbid, a person has sexual intercourse with an animal and ejaculate, ghusl alone will be sufficient for him. So this person has to perform ghusl. It means that he has a janabe. And if he does not ejaculate and he was with wudu at the time of committing the unnatural act, even then غسل will be sufficient for him. So he needs to perform غسل. This is first of all, yes. And if he does not ejaculate and he was with wudu at the time of committing the unnatural act, even then ghusl will be sufficient for him. Unnatural act, this act that he la samahallah commit janabah with an animal. However, if he was not with wudu at that time, the obligatory precaution is that he should do ghusl and also perform wudu in both. If he doesn't have wudu in the time, as a precaution, he has to make ghusl and to perform wudu at the same time. And the same orders apply if one commits sodomy. If somebody commits sodomy, in this case, that person should do both ghusl and what, and perform wudu as precautionary. Okay, with issue number 358, if movement of seminal fluid is felt but not emitted, is felt from its place but in the back of the male, but it's not emitted, or if a person doubts whether or not semen has been ejaculated, ghusl will not be obligatory upon him. Ghusl won't be obligatory because we need that semen is out of his body, not to move from the place. Issue number 350. Absolutely. Look, Mr. Ali, in this issue, that the person hasn't sure that the fluid is out of him, okay, out of his body. For that, we don't want from him to perform what? Ghusl. Ghusl is not obligatory. But as you suppose that his fluid is out of his body, isn't it? But he checked that fluid and it is a semen. In this case, he has to be to do what? He has to do ghusl. He has to make ghusl. Okay. Even if it is without lust and ejaculation, but he is sure that this is semen. You see, if he's sure, so he has to perform ghusl. Okay. Issue number 359. A person who is unable to do ghusl but can perform tayammum is allowed to have. So in this case, he cannot do ghusl, okay, because he's losing water, or he is in a case he cannot use water. So he can do what? Perform, only perform. He is allowed to have sexual intercourse with his wife even after the time for daily prayers has set in. Why? Because he is going to perform tayammum. Issue number 360, which is last issue today. If a person observes semen on his dress and knows that it is his own and he has not done ghusl on that account, he should do ghusl and repeat as qada all those prayers about which he is certain that he offered them after he discharge of semen. However, it is not necessary for him to repeat those prayers about which there is a probability that he might have offered them before the discharge of semen. In this case, this person, he saw semen on his clothes, okay, but he doesn't know which prayers he performed, and he performed prayers without what?
without ghusl. So he has to repeat all the prayers that he is sure that he perform the prayers without ghusl. Okay? But how about the prayers that he doubt or he may have offered them before the discharge of the summon? He doesn't need to repeat them. I think this is enough for Islamic beliefs for tonight. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.